probably would. And at that point, the boards would come up with a system to determine how people in those communities would be eligible.
And to pursue this further, how do you go before a board that does not exist? Because the senator says that subsistence board is optional. Evidently, there's not enough support to create a board. Who do they go to then?
All the authorities in the bill would fall to the board's official, the board in the game, if amendment is made to take out the subsistence board.
Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman, I think the other thing that's important about evaluating this as a policy approach is that with respect to Alaskans that do not live in the villages, obviously there's going to have to be a way to identify those Alaskans that will be participating in this activity. One of the reasons that it is not spelled out as a policy choice in the bill, in terms of the details of that, is that the governor's bill takes a try at that activity in the text of its statute. And there are a number of people that believe that the kinds of criteria in the governor's bill for figuring all this out are both unenforceable and have a lot of practical difficulties. And it illustrates that this is a very complicated subject. And therefore, if the legislature would give that responsibility to the boards, and then through the public hearing process and the rest of the way that the board does its business, then a broad swath of Alaskans who would be the people that would be participating in that urban activity would be able to advise the board on what these criteria should be, rather than having that done sort of in a vacuum. And it's such an important point, we thought that it would be better to give the authorization and allow a broad public policy for figuring that out than to bite off the task that the governor attempted to bite off in his approach that illustrated how difficult it is to do in isolation.
Senator Adams. We have the comparisons between the two bills. I'd like one of you to respond to me about the management philosophy on the difference between the governor's bill and the Bush caucus bill that I have introduced. About what this bill creates, doesn't it? The both bills, what the governor's bill is, create a drastic change in the management philosophy of fish and game resources. Norm, would you like to respond to that?
And if the Commissioner of Fish and Game wishes to respond to the Attorney General to this subsequently, I would suggest they do so.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Adams, I believe if you turn to, let me get the right section here, it's in the definitions of sustained yield. And it's not in this bill, it's in the governor's bill, excuse me. Governor's definition of sustained yield on page 10 of SB 484. Sustained yield is not defined in statutes for purposes of fish and game. I believe it is defined for other purposes, timber or something in state statute, but not for fish and game. And it is a constitutional standard. The standard says sustained yield means the management principle of utilization, development, and maintenance applied to naturally occurring fish and game resources that provides beneficial consumptive uses in perpetuity, subject to preferences among such uses, and seeks to provide for desired population increases and prevent desired declines for the purpose of maintaining healthy cells and perpetuating stocks and populations. I guess I would just refer you to line 28, where it says it provides beneficial consumptive uses in perpetuity. Basically, as I read this language and as I understand what was intended by this bill, the purpose of the sustained yield management that is the constitutional standard is going to be, by this bill, defined by the legislature to mean that you are to provide, that the boards are to provide for, in the management of each fish stock and game population, for the beneficial consumptive uses in perpetuity, subject to preferences among such uses. Now, at least what I understand that to mean is that if the boards decide that they would like to manage a fish stock or a game population for a non-consumptive use, I could take an example of the Pack Creek Bears. Prior to the time that the board, the legislature adopted the sanctuary there, the board decided that there wouldn't be any hunting of that bear population because they felt that the highest and best use of that population was for viewing and for non-consumptive uses. This bill takes that and will say that the legislature tells the boards you can't do that anymore. For each fish, stock, and game population, you've got to be providing for beneficial consumptive uses, not just beneficial uses. And that your only subject is to preferences among those uses, among consumptive uses. Now that is my reading of this bill, and that's what I understood the word consumptive was intended to do when put in line 28. And that is a major management change from the way fishing game is managed in the state and the authority that is given to the boards.
Mr. Chairman, you have the floor.
Thank you.
And I'd like you to comment on that point also, because that would be something that... Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that the senators received yesterday, during testimony from the Attorney General, a reading on this particular point. And I believe that the point was boards were not precluded under this wording from, in fact, managing for non-consumptive uses. There was a lengthy discussion about that on the record yesterday.
What did you just say? I was distracted.
I was saying that you were advised yesterday by the Attorney General's office during the discussion on this particular point, the board were not precluded from, in fact, managing for non-consumptive use under this definition.
Yeah, that is very important.
Yes.
You have the floor.
So, Commissioner, with the language that we have termed on page 10 on sustained yield in that paragraph, you're saying this management philosophy does not change with this language you have in your present bill.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Norm, would you respond back to that?
Mr. Chairman, I was not here yesterday to hear the Attorney General's explanation of that or assistant.
I want to recognize Senator Hoffman. Thank you, Mr.
Well, I'd like to ask the Commissioner then, if it does not change the management philosophy, why do we need that language then, your language, change?
I may be able to respond to that. As I recall, certainly this isn't an area where I have any familiarity with practices, but as I recall, at one of the Subsistence Council meetings, it was brought up that sustained yield is a term used in the Alaska Constitution, and that there is no statutory definition of sustained yield, and that this language was developed in the course of Assistance Advisory Council meetings to provide a statutory definition of that term. That's why it's in there, to get something embodied in statute is what sustained yield means, because presently, if I recall correctly what transpired at that meeting, there's nothing in statute which defines sustained yield, and it was therefore incorporated into this bill to provide guidance by the legislature to the boards of fish and game on sustained yield.
Well, I'm going to follow up that maybe if Mr. Cohen could respond to that same point. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, floor.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I did not hear the discussion yesterday. I would stand by my opinion that what this language does is to change the way fishing game would be managed in the state. I would say that the original language that the Subsistence Advisory Council had before it did not place the word consumptive between beneficial and uses on line 28. It was added, and it was added for a purpose because the council discussed as I recall, and I was sitting there during that time, as I recall, they discussed that, aren't we really talking about consumptive uses when we're talking about sustained yield? Isn't that what it's all about? And it's my reading of this language as written that the legislature would be tying the board's hand in terms of managing for non-consumptive uses.
Thank you. I thought there was testimony that there weren't attorneys involved. And subsequently, I understand there were a few around. Thank you very much. You have the floor, Senator.
Well, I have a memo that was dated back in of March 27th of 1992 that was written to me on this very subject from George Gutermahl, and basically it states that it is not necessary that the Senate bill contain the definition of sustained yield, and I think he's in the audience, and I wonder if he could come up and explain.
He can if George is here and wishes to. Even if he doesn't wish to, he requests. George, I think there's a spot where you can sit down, even here. Senator Hoffman, if he hasn't heard you, hear your question again.
Well, I wonder if you might briefly capitalize the memo that you sent me on sustained yield back in March 27th of this year, and basically stating that the definition is not needed primarily because the resource managers well understand what the definition or what sustained yield means.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hoffman. Yes, Senator Hoffman. In my memo, I do mention that it is not essential or necessary that the bill contain a definition of sustained yield. The state has a sustained yield requirement in the Constitution. We've been managing our resources according to that requirement since statehood, and we may continue to do so. There's ample knowledge on the part of our resource administrators and the courts when they need to interpret the last Constitution to understand what the Constitutional Convention meant by sustained yield. In that regard, there is no need to address, prepare a definition of sustained yield in this piece of legislation.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
You have the floor, and I apologize.
I just had a brief comment about this, because there's been a lot of talk about this whole sustained yield problem. First is that it is true that the Alaska Constitution requires our resources to be managed for sustained yield. However, if we assume that the proceedings of the Constitutional Convention are an accurate guide of what that standard is, which is a presumption I'm prepared to make, the history of that section in our Constitution indicates that the delegates intended it to be a broad sort of concept, which they did not intend it as a strict legal standard, the way that a lot of these terms are defined, particularly in federal wildlife law, where sustained yield, optimum sustainable population, these are all legal standards that trigger certain requirements. I would suggest that I express no policy view as to whether it would be appropriate to have a statutory definition of sustained yield. I would say that I've been involved in litigation over the years in terms of federal wildlife law with respect to optimum sustainable population and other of these kinds of terms, and I can represent, based on that experience, that if you are going to have one, that it is a very complicated intermix between law and biology and should be done with some care. And obviously, whether Mr. Cohen or the Attorney General is right or wrong about the intended effect of this language, obviously their honest dispute indicates that there's some ambiguity as to the actual standard that is being created here in this particular text. And if that's true, and if the policy is to have a statutory definition, it's certainly something that I would think as a technician would require considerable more attention.
I ask Attorney General to respond then, Senator.
Well, I would like to say that I know from personal involvement that this definition of sustained yield had a lot more care and attention and discussion involving it than some of the constitutional amendments which are being discussed here today have had, number one. Number two is that one would think that the legislature would want to exercise its prerogative to lay out a definition of sustained yield for the guidance of those who are managing fish and game in this state. If it does not want to do that, if they simply allow the present I regard ill-defined basis of sustained yield management to continue as it is. It's certainly not an essential ingredient of the Advisory Commission's proposed legislation.
Senator Adams.
George, under the definition of sustained yield and reuse beneficial consumptive uses, just the word consumptive, in your mind, does this change the policy or the management style of the state?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Adams, I would have to say that there is grounds for concern on the issue that requires sustained yield to be done in terms of consumptive uses. There is sufficient grounds for concern there.
Excuse me, I don't want to interject, but are you through? Pardon me, I jumped through. I do want us, though, to just now stay with the legislation proposed. You know, that's what we're speaking to. We've heard extensively on the other bill. Let us go to the Adams bill. You have four, Mr.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I brought this up is I wanted to show the management style of the difference between the governor's bill and this bill, because maybe on this Senate floor we'll be debating these issues.
Well, I think it was a good exercise. I do think we need to get back to moving along on the legislation before us. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there other questions, Senator Menard?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Adams, now, I may be missing something. Is your bill defining sustained yield, or does it leaves it to the constitutional, what the constitutional amendment is, that correct? Or what the Constitution says?
Yes, the Adams bill does not define the term sustained yield, which is the present state of Alaska law, which allows the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game to basically figure that out as part of their regulatory process.
But
which is the present state of the law at the time.
But does the Adams bill state that they will manage it for consumptive uses?
No.
Okay.
No. It does not fix a problem that is not presently broken.
Yes.
Yeah. Other questions? Is there a statement about the legislation? Is it understood?
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I would just say that I'm not prepared to make that amendment, but I certainly don't support ARC that has a subsistence board. I think that's one that sets up an unnecessary and duplicative management regime.
The floor, Senator.
The sponsor of the legislation would honor an amendment from the senator from Anchorage, if that's the wishes, so that the legislation could go.
When our bill was the bill was before us, I would make that.
Yep, floor, Senator Hopkins.
So on that point, I think that the language does deserve merit. You know, I think that the Board of Fish and Game presently have a lot of responsibilities to do presently. Particularly the Board of Fish is meeting extensively, and for them to come in to now be added with the responsibility of deciding who can participate and who can't, that is going to be take additional time. We already have people that are volunteers, and many people that we've asked declined to want to participate or be appointed because of the amount of time that they are presently spending on the Board of Fish. And I think if we continue to add responsibilities to the Board of Fish, the pool that we can select from is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and that is going to cause further problems. Besides, I think that it would be better for the people that know the issue to be deciding on who and what subsistence is. To say that the Board of Fish is that body, I would have to say that it isn't. You look at the composition, the present composition of the Board of Fish, how many of them are subsistence users? Many are commercial users, many are sports users. And I would say that that the issue deserves more discussion than just an up and down vote.
At this stage, you wish question, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Adams has indicated that this bill will require a constitutional amendment, and I've been looking through my packet here and I don't see the amendment. Do we have a copy of the amendment that will go along with Senator Adams' bill?
Either one, John.
You have floor, John.
Either one. Is.
There have been several texts of constitutional amendments that have been presented to me this afternoon as I've been here in the bullpen or whatever this area of the room is. Both of the texts that I have seen would authorize the enactment of a statute like this in my judgment. One was a copy of the constitutional amendment that the Senate passed in 1990. And another is a text that was based primarily on that drafting, but a little slightly different, but the same legal effect, I think, that had Senator Pershaw's name on it. Either one of those, I think, would accomplish that result.
No further questions.
Those amendments are not before.
That's correct. It's just to be understood. We just brought the bill up for discussion purposes to be understood so that the 20 members have the opportunity to debate and to reflect, ask legal counsel, including Attorney General. At this time, I'm going to move for a 3-minute recess, then we'll come back to the constitutional amendment discussion. And with that, we will then hopefully vote on legislation that will go out of this committee.
Okay, 3 minutes.
I don't know about around here.
No, it's funny, but I have another bill here to sponsor, substitute bill that would. It's a bill without the subsistence board, which I think a majority of the senators. Then it would be similar to the governor's bill. The bill would maintain the existing board system, placing subsistence use in competition with other use. And with that, Mr. Chairman, if it's okay with you, I'd like to pass out a committee.
Yes, please do.
It's just basically without the subsistence board.
I think that's wonderful how you do that.
I did it just to...
Is that like the constitutional amendment also?
Which good Lord provides.
Same.
Three senators
going to
suggest
it.
What else is there?
So if and when the motion came up on this, it would probably be this work draft bill here.
That's correct.
We are making progress.
You know, everybody is looking for senators, those that can find them, and staff, if you please cross them in. We have no motions, yes. I haven't entertained a motion. It's just a matter of passing out a piece of legislation.
And you're going to make the only thing you can suggest the tone of the motion here that you have down there as well.
Yeah.
Drag my along.
No, one of them. I like to be short. Get in the bathroom.
Minimum,
yeah. Rest of them.
Now, if the people feel comfortable, then Senator Lass will move on 484. If you feel uncomfortable at this stage, we'll wait for everybody to arrive. You have the floor, Senator Lyson.
I intend to move. I don't think there's any problem moving both these bills off to me. I think this should go.
Yes.
However, I think the second motion will be the main issue at hand is whether we want to begin the process of ourselves back in this federal session.
That'll be the third distinct motion.
So at that time, beginning the process doesn't necessarily mean we'll ever get through that process, but we have to have some indication of what we're going to do.
I think that's Senator Lassen, I'd recognize you for the motion. There may be some debate.
Mr. Chairman, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 484 be moved from committee.
Do
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 485 be made substitute for Senate Bill 485 as presented before us be adopted and moved.
Without objection.
The main changes being made.
That's correct.
Is the subsistence board has been eliminated. And then I move, Mr. Chairman, and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 485 be moved from the committee.
Without objection. Okay. We just passed it, Hopper. Yeah, everybody's done. We have the floor.
Mr. President, as the second bill requires a constitutional amendment, according to its sponsor, I would hope that motion to move that bill is contingent upon the passage of consideration of a constitutional amendment. If we do not consider a constitutional amendment by its sponsor, that bill is not available to us, because he has said that it requires a constitutional amendment to be able to pass.
So I think it can leave this committee. There's other committees to reference. You have four, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, the argument here is both bills needs a constitutional amendment. The governor's bill that we just moved up and my bill needs a constitutional amendment. I'm not going to hide behind anything on this, and I think it's one that would be the third motion or the fourth motion is, do we have sufficient votes here to vote on a constitutional amendment to take ourselves back?
The floor, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I will withdraw my objection. Just pointing out that I do not believe the first bill we have passed up requires a constitutional amendment. The Attorney General testified that it doesn't. I believe that bill is constitutional without amendment. But where this bill, the sponsor himself is saying that yes, this one does require a constitutional amendment. I think it's a different question, but it can be handled further down the process. So as far as moving the committee as a whole forward, I'll draw my objection to moving the bill.
If there's no further objection, you comment.
Our legal counsel has told us to testify that both bills need constitutional amendment. Our legal counsel has stated that.
There's no further objection. Motion's passed. 485 is out of committee. With this can be taken around the table, Sue or Carol or whomever is, for signature, both bills. I appreciate it. Start with Senator Elias and just come right around. And as soon as the senator has signed this one, I believe we'll then take in motion any other considerations before the body here, which has to do with this time.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're all present. I do believe so.
I'd like to make a motion relative to how we're going to proceed from this point. The motion will be to the effect that shall we not proceed? The motion will be to proceed to commence the process of calling ourselves back into a special session to address the constitutional amendment. However, I think we should also note that it's going to take, I assume, 14 votes to do that, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen because we have other forces at work on the other side who might not entertain that question. I think that it's a question that we might not solve ourselves. The question, the politically wise thing to do would be to wait for the House to act, but I think that we're probably a little more mature and we can make that one step. And once we make that step and decide we're not going to, of course they're going to blame us because we didn't do it. And if we do, agreeing to that, they probably won't anyway. That's my But I've always thought this body was probably more of in a better position, but especially those of us who are not returning. Please take our necks out there. And I'll make a motion. The motion is, shall we call ourselves in a special session?
Motion is, Mr. Chairman. Shall we begin the process to call ourselves back into special session to address specifically the constitutional amendment?
Shall we begin the process? Senator Porchot to that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to give you a smaller point, or maybe not make a difference at all, but I am assuming that we're really looking for, you know, kind of, would you entertain voting for a constitutional amendment? There may be a mechanical way of getting to that. For example, I mean, taking 14 votes to the governor and saying, would you add this to the call, now that you shall bear on these people? Obviously, him adding it to the call is probably an easier transfer method than adjourning and coming back in. So I'm kind of taking center license. Whatever expeditious procedure might get us to that point.
You had a course on the
right, license. That's exactly what I had in mind. I had to communicate, of course, with the House. And obviously, the House has two-thirds, and we have two-thirds of the government. We need the governor's support on this issue. However, it would be beneficial if he would do that, because he could limit the call to that specific item. I want you all to understand that if we call ourselves back in a special session, we can talk about anything, we can introduce any bills, we can do what we want to do, and we might be here for 30 days.
Senator Pierce?
I have a question about the motion.
It's just the process.
There also, this is just a process to call ourselves back for as much as 30 days with an open call.
It is an open call.
It's not an open call. It just ends up being
one. Yes. Right. We don't have any control of that.
Oh, it does. It would be an open call if we do it.
Right. Assuming some discipline, but Senator.
Some discipline.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we left a lot of legislation between the bodies, everything from wrecking to bear arms to a major fishery facility in Anchorage, Nevada, a lot of other things that maybe members would like to consider in a 30-day special session, but I certainly don't want to do that. I think we've had a lot of time to consider this in the regular session. This whole issue, it moved through the resources committee, moved to the judiciary committee, package and all parts of it ended up in the finance committee. We didn't pass them out. Now we're back here. We're here 4 days before we get to this point. We're going to look at a constitutional amendment that would have to be introduced today. It can't be introduced today because we're not under the call to introduce. So I think Senator Eliason's point is at least a three-day period if the Senate decided and we got the House to decide today to go forward. It's at least a three-day addition to the session. And we know from the advocates of at least one form of constitutional amendment that they're opposed to adding any kind of a trigger back to an ILCA. And I think if you lose that side and you can't maintain the other side, you don't get there that way either. You don't get there through UFA's approach. You don't get there through AFN's approach. You don't get there through the position of the outdoor council. So I think we're essentially wasting our time to consider the constitutional amendment at this point. I would hope that we do not vote to extend ourselves in session to consider a constitutional amendment and take all the risks and all the other things that are out there that may be up for consideration.
So, Zara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was trying to think. I've gone through a couple of special sessions, and I don't recall anything more than 30 days.
2 weeks.
Maybe on this topic.
Let's
most
not.
Of the sessions have already been taken place, and this could go as quickly as 3 days. I mean, let's put the other end of that spectrum out there as well as the other. We can't scare everybody to say it's going to take for 430 days, and we're going to end up with 485 bills on the calendar or on the commitment. Most of us are dealing here with subject to subsistence. There may be a technical problem there that we've had. I think somebody has alluded to that today. So we can limit ourselves. We don't have to automatically deal with 150 pieces of legislation. I think if there's a sincerity in the body here to deal with subsistence or whatever needed to be taken care of, let's do that. I think that there's a spirit within the group here to do it as quickly as possible. These scare tactics here just shouldn't work. We're fooling ourselves. We're trying to fool the public out there. We're trying to fool the administration.
Senator Jablowski, then Senator Ewing.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just would say that I would concur with Senator Jaroff's remarks, and somehow I don't think the public's going to judge us on 3 days. They're going to judge us by what we do, and I think the great body of Alaskans want to see a resolution. They may not certainly all agree with what we do, but I think for us to forestall that, for some fear that we're going to bring out all of the failures or our own personal disappointments of the last session, is simply not accurate.
Senator Yuling, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I do share some of the concerns. I know we went through, we've already gone through one special session here where there was some difficulty, to be honest with you, to keep the agenda down there, and I would hope. I do think that there should be some kind of resolution on this, and at least we should take a look at the constitutional amendment. However, I do think it needs to be just limited to that, if it's possible. And I think in the discussions before us regarding this motion, that it could be included in the conversation. I assume that the President Senate would hear from them.
Yep, floor,
like you mentioned, we tried this before, and there are ways that we'll keep in the agenda. We have one waiting already. However, I would suggest that probably the President is to make the committee assignments. I will share that any bill comes across the desk. We sent numerous committee referrals. So that's where I'm coming from.
Senator Shaw,
just that I'm not afraid. Well, maybe some people are. I'm tired, and I call the question.
Well, I call the question. Roll call. Lorraine, you call the roll. 14 votes.
Senator Adams?
Yes.
Senator Collins?
No.
Senator Cotton?
Yes.
Senator Kraft?
Yes.
Senator Duncan?
Yes.
Senator Lassen?
Yes.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Brent?
No.
Senator Halper?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Menard?
No.
Senator Pierce?
No.
Senator Pichot?
Yes.
Senator Rohde?
Yes.
Senator Schultz?
Yes.
Senator Sergilewski?
Yes.
Senator Taylor?
No.
Senator Yuling?
Yes.
Senator Jarrow?
Yes.
Chairman Kutula?
No. Could you give us the results of your copy?
Sure,
mate. Please read the code.
The roll shows 12 days, 8 days.
At this stage, we can adjourn.
Presumably.
The plan, yeah, we move the bill. The plan is to go back in session, check in session, read the bills across to the finance, and then we're going to adjourn the session for a day.
Good morning.
We're adjourned to a subsequent call.